Zechariah wrote many years before the Lord Jesus came to Bethlehem's manger and to Calvary's cross. But Zechariah saw the day of the Lord. Our Lord said, Abraham saw my day. Way back yonder. Abraham saw my day. He rejoiced to see it. Well, Zechariah saw his day, and the heart of Zechariah was lifted to rejoicing by the promise of the coming Messiah, the coming Redeemer. Let's look at it, chapter 3, verse 1. And he showed me, Zechariah's writing here, he showed me, the Lord showed me Joshua, the high priest. This is not Moses' sidekick. This is another Joshua on down years later. The high priest. This man Joshua was the high priest. And the Lord showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, standing before the Lord. And Satan standing at his right hand to resist him, to accuse him, to bring condemnation charges against him. Now, Joshua here is not to be considered personally, but typically. Joshua represents someone here. He showed me Joshua, the high priest. Well, the high priest represents Israel. The high priest represents the people of God. The high priest was ordained between the people and God to offer gifts for the people and to bring blessings from God. So Joshua stands here typically representing Israel, the priesthood, the people of God, and you and me. We're people of God. He showed me Joshua standing before the Lord. David said, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord, hear my voice. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, who would stand? Stand where? Before thee. David said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Joshua, all of us standing here before the Lord. And Satan at his right hand to accuse him, to bring charges against him, true charges, to ask for his condemnation also. You remember, I told my class this morning, when the sons of God appeared before the Lord, Satan came in their midst to accuse Job, to accuse the brethren. Here he stands, Joshua, the priesthood, the people, the elect, God's church. And there's Satan over there, pointing his finger, bringing charges against Joshua. Justly so. Justly so. Our sins are the same as his sins. I will be like God. I will exalt my throne. I will ascend into the north. I will. That's our problem. I will. The essence of sin is I will. The essence of holiness comes from Gethsemane's garden. Not my will. Thy will be done. Christ, the only man who ever really said that, meant it. So here he stands. Here we stand before the Lord. And verse 2 said, and the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. He's the only one who can. I dare not challenge him. Joshua dares not challenge him. Joshua's not even looking in his direction. Joshua's standing before the Lord, and Satan is accusing him. And the Lord rebuked Satan. I believe he's saying here, the Lord will rebuke thee. The Lord will do it. Have you seen that before somewhere in Scripture? You remember over in Jude verse 9, if you'd like to turn over there, do so. Jude verse 9. The Lord rebuked thee. The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Look over here at Jude, verse 9. You know, in verse 8, Jude brought this accusation against the false religionists. He said, these filthy dreamers, they defile the flesh, they despise dominion, they speak evil of dignities. Yet, Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Michael did not bring against Satan a railing accusation, but he said, what did he say? The Lord rebuke thee. So here's Joshua, you and me, God's people. There's Satan at his right hand to condemn him and accuse him, justly so. But the Lord says, I'll rebuke thee, Satan. I'll stop your mouth. I'll silence you. I'll destroy you. I'll deal with you. Joshua won't and can't, but I can and will. And I'll crush your head. Now look at the next line. Even the same Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. The same Lord who chose Joshua, whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. What shall we say to these things? I'll say, if God be for us, if God will deal with Satan, who can be against us? Even the principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness cannot harm us. If God, the Lord will rebuke thee. The Lord will rebuke thee. Even the Lord who chose Jerusalem. Even the Lord who chose him. Now look what else he said about Joshua. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? The elect of God, Joshua, you, me, all whom he represents, are here described as a brand plucked out of the fire. What is a brand plucked out of the fire? Well, it's a dry stick. It's a dry stick cast into the fire, separated from God, in danger of being utterly consumed in wrath. A branch cast off by nature, and God reaches in by his grace and plucks it out of the burning. It comes forth with the smell of the fire upon it. Rescued, delivered, plucked from the burning. That's what Joshua is. That's what he is. There he stands. There we stand before the Lord. And God speaks. I don't dare speak. You don't dare speak. Joshua never said a word. He's got no alibi. He's got no excuse. That's what the law does. It shuts the mouth. It renders us speechless. How came you in here without a wedding garment? Speechless. Joshua is speechless. But God speaks. And God said, I'll rebuke thee, Satan. I'll deal with you. I'll close your mouth. I'll crush your power. I chose Joshua. I chose Jerusalem. And he's a brand plucked from the fire, delivered from the wrath of God. Now look at verse 3. Now let's see what Joshua looks like as he stands there. He's clothed with filthy, filthy garments. And he stood before the Lord in filthy garments. No high priest ever came before the Lord in filthy garments. The high priest never ministered in filthy garments. In fact, over in Leviticus 13 or 16, don't turn there, read it this afternoon or sometime for yourself. But the high priest, before he came with the atonement once a year, he bathed, so careful to bathe. He had on his beautiful garments with gold and precious stones and the breastplate and the names of Israel engraved on his shoulders and in his hands. And oh, how that high priest was dressed in glorious garments. But when he slew the animal, he put those garments aside and clothed himself in white linen, but clean, spotless white linen. Slew the sacrifice, came across the courtyard, washed his hands and his feet again in the laver of pure water, and went into the holy place in clean garments. And when he came out after sprinkling the blood on the mercy seat, he took off the linen garments and put back on the beautiful garments. That's how John saw our Lord on the Isle of Patmos, clothed in the priestly garments. Joshua, that filthy garments. What does this mean? It means this. It means that Joshua is appearing there as he really is. As he really is. As the Lord sees him by nature, by birth, by choice, by practice. You and me. As Satan sees him. As he really is. You know, over here in Isaiah chapter 64, listen to this. This describes us. What's Joshua doing standing there in filthy garments? Because that's all his garments are, is filthy. The best he's got is filthy. Look at Isaiah 64, 6. We are all, but we are all, everyone, as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are what? Filthy garments. Filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have driven us away. Isaiah 40, all flesh is grass. The goodliness, the glory of man, as the flower of the field. The flower fadeth, the grass withereth. Filthy garments. Ah me, look at verse 4. And the Lord answered and spake unto those that stood before him. The angels, I don't know, perhaps, those that stood before him. Are they not ministers of God ministering to the heirs of salvation? The Lord said to those standing before him, take away Joshua's filthy garments. Take them away from him. Notice, the Lord didn't say, thankfully, take him away. There'll be a day when he'll say that to some folks. Depart from me. I never knew you. But Joshua was chosen. And even though Satan himself, the very principality, power, and dominion of hell, has brought charges against and accusations against the elect, whom Joshua represents, the priest. God says, he didn't say take him away. I can't stand the sight of him. He didn't say take those garments out and wash them and bring them back. Because Joshua would have messed them up too after they cleaned them up. He said, take his garments away from him. My sins are all taken away. He said, I'll take your sins and separate them from you as far as the east is from the west. I'll cast them into the depths of the sea. I'll remember them no more. And he said to Joshua, behold, I did it. I have caused your iniquities to pass from you. And you know how he caused our iniquities to pass from us? Iniquity's got to be somewhere. It's got to be accounted for. It's got to be paid for. He caused our iniquities to pass from us onto Christ. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. Our iniquities passed from us to our substitute, our sacrifice, the Lord Jesus. And therefore, they're taken away. They're passed from us. And when he died on that cross, they passed from him. He was buried and rose again without sin. They're paid for. They don't have to be paid for again. Payment God's justice cannot twice demand. First at my bleeding surety's hand, then again at mine. I have caused your iniquities to pass from you. And listen, and I'll clothe you. You're not going to stand naked. We'll never be ashamed. We'll never stand naked. I'll clothe you with a change of raiment. I'll put on you the righteousness of Christ. Look over at the book of Ezekiel a moment. When our Lord wrote by the Ezekiel 16, our Lord wrote about that, had Ezekiel write about that deserted infant whom the Lord found, and I pass by you in your blood, in your filth, and your pollution. It was a time of love, and I said to you, live. And then he said in verse 10 of Ezekiel 16, and I clothed you. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin, and girded thee about with fine linen, and covered thee with silk. No more filthy garments. I decked you also with ornaments. I put bracelets upon your hands, and a chain upon your neck, and a jewel on your forehead, and earrings in your ears, and a crown on your head. And you were thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was as fine linen, silk, broidered work, and you did eat fine flour and honey and oil, and you were exceeding beautiful. And you did prosper into a kingdom, and your renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I put upon thee, saith the Lord. I clothed you with change of raiment. Zechariah 3, verse 5. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. A mitre is an official turban of a king or a priest, called a diadem. And that turban or crown, diadem, indicates royal power. Royal power. Joshua had stood there in filthy garments. Now he stands there clothed in the beauty and righteousness of Christ. And they put a crown on his head, a turban, a royal diadem. He's a king priest. He's the son of the king. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the Lord Jesus stood by. This is a picture of what he will do. He stood by. And then he said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if you walk in my ways, my way is Christ. I am the way, he said, the truth and the life. The only way of salvation. He is the way of faith and hope and love. He is the way of grace, mercy, and truth. Walk in this way. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have fellowship with him. You walk in my way. Walk in my way. And listen. And keep my charge, my ordinances, my commandments, my word. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You belong to me. Now, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you'll find rest unto your soul. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Walk in my way. Keep my ordinances. And listen to what will take place. And you'll judge my house. You'll reign with me. And you'll keep my courts. Not as a doorkeeper. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell or reign in the tents of the wicked. But you're not going to be a doorkeeper. You're a son. You're a prince.
You keep my, this is Christ speaking, you keep my way, my ordinances, my word, and I'll make you a son. And you'll judge my house and keep my courts as a prince. And listen, and I'll give you places to walk. I'll give you walks to walk among them that stand by. Well, back here in verse 4, he answered and spake to those that stood by, that stood before him, and said, you take away his filthy garments. This must be the angels, the heavenly hosts. This must be those who are servants of God. And he says to Joshua, I'm going to give you places to walk among them that stand by. And down in verse 5, and he said, let them set a fire mitre upon his head. So they set a fire mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. We're going to walk with him too. I'm going to give you places to walk. Paul came back from that place and he said, I've heard things I can't even tell you about. And then verse 8, hear now, Joshua, how did all this take place? Hear me, Joshua, learn this. You've seen something now, the high priest. Thou and your fellows that sit with you, that's you and me, learn something now. For they're men to be wondered at, those that are with Joshua. They wonder at themselves that God should love me. Who am I? David said. They wondered themselves. Men to be wondered at. Women, believers to be wondered at. They wondered themselves. I expect the angels wonder at them. Why did God save him? Don't you imagine? I know the world wonders at us. They wonder. We're not understood or loved. They wonder at us. Foolishness, bunch of foolishness. Those people are fanatics, radicals. Wondered at. Behold, listen, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. I'll bring forth my servant, the branch. Now, I'm going to talk more about this tonight. But our Lord is called the branch for several reasons. One, he descended, the promised Messiah, in the right lineage and house and tribe, son of David. He's the branch, the descendant of David. He asked those Pharisees, what think ye of the Christ? Whose son is he? They said, son of David. That's who he is. He's the branch. You take the Old Testament and study Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, Jesse, David, Christ, the branch. Secondly, he's the branch we'll see tonight in Isaiah 53. He'll grow up as a tender branch, his incarnation, a tender plant, a root out of a dry ground. And then Isaiah said, and a beautiful branch loaded with fruit. And John 15 says, we're his branches. His branches. I'm going to bring forth my servant, the branch, the Messiah, the King Messiah. And listen, here he describes him. Behold the stone, the rock, Christ Jesus. I lay in Zion, God said, a stone, a tried stone, a chief cornerstone, a sure foundation, the stone that I have laid before Joshua. Upon one stone shall be seven eyes, seven spirits of God, that's the Holy Spirit, seven eyes, omniscient, omnipotent, almighty. And behold, I will engrave. What's this? Well, Over in Exodus 28, let's turn over there just a moment. Exodus 28, I will engrave. Exodus 28, I believe that's the scriptures. Exodus 28, verse 9. Let's read this. Exodus 28, verse 9. Listen. And thou shalt take two onyx stones and grave on them the names of the children of Israel. Six of their names on one stone and the other six names on the rest of the other stone according to their birth. With the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in arches of gold, and thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial to the children of Israel, and Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon two shoulders for a memorial. This is what he's talking about here. God says, I will engrave their names. I'll write their names. I'm going to raise up the branch, the stone, the high priest, the Lord Jesus, the King Messiah, and I'll write the names of my Israel, my people. I'll put their names on there. When the high priest comes before me, when he comes bringing his blood, not the blood of animals, but the blood of the Son of God. And with those names on his breastplate and in his hands, and he comes before me, and I'll remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Now there you can sing that song, they're all taken away with some understanding. I'll take them away. And in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day, there'll be peace. We'll see that tonight. Shall ye call every man his neighbor, his brother, under the vine, under the fig tree, in Christ, my servant, the branch.